Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
Today we're continuing in this series on transformation, but this is Palm Sunday. So would you stand up with me? And I just want us to imagine that we're in the crowd of people that we're seeing Jesus come into that east gate of Jerusalem, across the Kidron Valley and up the little hill to that eastern gate. And as he came through, they shouted out, "Hosanna, Hosanna." It probably would have been more like Hosanna, Hosanna. But anybody know what Hosanna means? It means save us. When? Right now. Save us now. Save us now. They were so eager for their Messiah to come. And he was going to save them in a way they wouldn't understand for a while. But can you say this with excitement in your voice and just kind of imagine that we're all there in the, just outside the gate and Jesus is coming through and we're all just going to raise our voice so loud. Everybody say, "I'm going to say it really loud." Here we go. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Woo! And some of you held back to see if anybody was going to actually do that. So let's do it again. Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Thank you, Jesus, that you did come. Thank you, Jesus, that you took that city and this world by surprise. And thank you that you came for sinners like us who need a Savior and who are absolutely incapable of saving ourselves. Thank you, Jesus, that you did it. Blessed are you who came in the name of Yahweh. And it's in your name that we thank you for that. Amen? Amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Well, last week, Jeff talked about one of my favorite people in the New Testament. His name is Zacchaeus. And I love the story of Zacchaeus for what it is in itself, but I really, it's one of my favorite names in all of the Bible. Some of you know why, because that's where I met my bride, Joy. And it was a place called the House of Zacchaeus in Long Beach. The building's still there. It's at the corner of 4th and Almond, and it's no longer the House of Zacchaeus Christian coffee shop. It's a holy mole, which is almost as good, great Mexican food. And so I'd love to go in there, and I've done this a few times, where I'll walk in the front door, and let's say that the counter is right up there, but I'll walk up to about this point, and I'll just stand right there. And they'll look at me like, "Sir, it's your turn." And I'll say, "This is where my wife was standing when I first saw her, that far from that counter." And they say, "Oh, how sweet." But they never give me free tacos. And it's not that big a deal to them. But yeah, we have gone out there a few times. But he talked about Zacchaeus, that just another tax man that was on Jesus' agenda one day. And when you say tax man, you said a few other things too. He was a man that was despised. He was an outsider to most of the godly culture there. But he was loved by Jesus, and he was transformed that day by Jesus. And I love how Jesus was drawn, as you follow him through the scriptures, he was drawn to the outsider. He was drawn to the loser. He was drawn to the despised. And there's somebody in here right now that's saying, "Oh man, you just hit one, two, or three of my categories. That's who I am." If you think that's what you are, that's what you really think you are, despised, and an outsider and a loser, Jesus came for you today. And he wants to transform your life as well, if that hasn't happened already. He is here and he is for you and he wants you. So let's press in a bit further into this thing called transformation and see how it happens. To transform, you know what it means? It just means what? To change. And it can mean to radically change, but it means to significantly bring change, to become a different person, someone here that I know today is longing for change. And maybe they're longing for freedom. And if that's what you're longing for, you're in the right place because Jesus wants to set you free. He wants to include you in his plan. And he was thinking about you when he came. And if you're longing for that change, Jesus can change anybody. Amen? I want to hear the voice, a loud amen from anybody in here that Jesus changed you. Amen?
Amen?
He still does. He's not done. He's busy every single day doing the same thing. You know what I've noticed? That some of the most unusual people get saved. Unusual. Yeah, we're all unusual. But the most unlikely people, you hear that they got saved, you said, she got saved? Or he got saved? I don't know about you, but every time I do a search on the internet for whatever the topic is, you know what comes up at the very top? The AI response to whatever I'm looking for. Even when I'm studying the Bible, the first response is from AI. And what's interesting is it's good stuff. And I'm just beginning to believe that AI is right on the verge of getting saved. I'm not sure. There's somebody behind it. You know, there's people behind it still. But I mean, it's or they're just the absolute consummate hypocrite who knows all the right things but doesn't live by it, whatever is behind that. But it's incredible how accurate and how good. By the way, I don't write my messages on AI. I just study sometimes. Am I okay still? All right, you really mean it? Okay, thank you. But let's go deeper on this today. Jesus can absolutely change anybody. And God is working to change each of us right now into, you know what he's doing, changing us into his image. He has a better plan for our lives than we do for our lives. No matter where you are right now, God wants to take you to a better and a stronger place. And that includes this theme, transformation, transforming you. So you'll get to a place way down the road and you'll look back at you back there and you think, I hardly relate to that person anymore. How many of you have ever felt that way? I can't believe that's the person that I was before I came to Jesus. You know, what happened between there and here is transformation. Step by step, day by day, transforming us into the very image of God. So God is ready to take all of us exactly where we are and move us to a stronger and a better and a more fruitful place. Life in Jesus is a life of transformation as we become all that Jesus wants us to be. But I want you to see the truth about transformation. I want to just give you 3 points on this, and then we'll move through it. Number one is this. The life in Jesus is not meant to be static. That's why we need to be transformed. I hope you never come to a place as a follower of Jesus where you just think, this is good enough right here. This is all I needed. Just needed my finances in order and my relationship with my wife, my husband, my kid. I just wanted that fixed, and I'm okay now. I hope you never get to that dangerous place. But that every day you're saying, God, I want to press in further. I want to get deeper with you. And that's where God wants to take you, to that stronger, better place in him. And I know so many of you, you know, having been here for almost 28 years now. And in fact, it was 28 years ago, this coming Sunday was the first time I preached in the congregation that was called Calvary Chapel of Huntington Beach, and it was Easter Sunday. And so over those 28 years, I've got to know a lot of you brothers and sisters, and some of you very well. And I love the love that you have for Jesus, how really strong and committed you are to Christ. I love watching that, men and women that are all for Jesus. You teach me what it really means to serve Jesus with all of your heart when you're not getting a paycheck for it on this side of heaven. Now you're ready to say, yes, Lord, I'll do that for you, Jesus. Whether it's within the ministry of the church, so to speak, or just out and around in your circles of influence, you just keep spilling Jesus over on people. And I love the way that you do that. I love doing life with this family, but God is ready to take all of us to that stronger place. And so it's his plan for us that we never stay static. Let me show you a verse on that. Static, by the way, it just means to stop changing, lacking change or movement in any direction, good direction or bad direction. It's resisting becoming It's resisting becoming the frozen chosen. Have you ever heard that before? We know that we're chosen, but we're just kind of frozen in our development and our walk and our maturity with Jesus. So Proverbs chapter 4, 18. There's going to be a bunch up on the screen. I'm going to ask you to read with me in a little bit. I'm going to have you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and you'll need to find that in your Bible. But let's read this together up on the screen. Proverbs from Solomon. He said, "The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day." What's he saying? The life of the righteous is a life of transformation from day to day to day. And you can't always even accurately chart your development and your maturity, but it's happening as you track with Jesus and you walk with him. That is what transformation is all about. The second thing I want you to jot down is this. Truth about transformation is this. Transformation requires our cooperation. It doesn't happen by just, you know, walking into Jesus' office, jumping up on the gurney, and him putting you out with a really gentle, mild anesthesia that's so easy to take. And when you wake up, you're like Jesus. I remember being on one of those gurneys recently. This has nothing to do with transformation, but it was a gurney, and I'm going to tell you the story. And it was a doctor that wanted to do an endoscopy on me. I always get confused between the endoscopy and the colonoscopy because the endoscopy feels like it should be at the end, but it's at the other side. And so I didn't need to say that this morning, but sometimes things just come out of my mouth and I can't control them. But he had already administered the anesthesia, and I was drifting into sleep mode, and I'm sure he thought I was asleep. As he's kind of strolling beside the gurney there, getting ready to do the endoscopy. And he says to his team, he said, "He wears patchouli oil." And he announced that to his team. And I told him about that later. He said, "Oh, you were awake for that." Yeah, so I don't know what else he says when patients are out. And I don't know why I went there. But it doesn't happen. Transformation doesn't happen without your cooperation and my cooperation. Every day. At those junctures, is that at that line in the sand where God says, "Okay, now come with me here," I have to say what? "Yes, Lord." I have to cooperate with him. Here's a few verses on that. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Read with me loud and strong. It says this: "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." Always abounding, always moving forward. The next one is James chapter 4, verses 7. I think it's 7 and 8 or it's 6 and 7. "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom, and humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Some of you are thinking, what is that mourning and weeping and gloom all about in the middle of a process of transformation? If you're asking that, you probably haven't gone too far in transformation, because there's moments of sorrow and there's moments of sadness, and there's moments of cutting this off and cutting that off and moving on without those attachments to the world. And some of those are hard to let go of. They just are. But he says, purify your hearts, and he puts it on us. Don't remain static. Keep moving forward in your walk with Jesus. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and the promise at the end, say it with me: he will lift you up. That's his promise. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Let's read together. "Seek the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he's near." It's not a passive life. You're involved in it. It's a cooperative life. One more from Isaiah. Oh, I love this one. Isaiah 4, verse 3. "Listen, it's the voice of someone shouting, 'Clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God.'" Now, there's all kinds of visuals for something like this, but the thing that always pops to my mind when I think about this, clear the way, a way through the wilderness, a straight highway through the wasteland of our God. I don't know why, but I can't keep myself from thinking about the hobbits as they're following Gollum, Smeagol, this double-sided character, and they're walking through the wastelands and just the desolate places. And it really is partly like that. You're making a way through the wasteland and through the wilderness, but it says, listen to the voice of God and call out upon him and clear the way from whatever rubble might be in the way. So, 1, 2, and 3. Life in Jesus is not meant to be static. Transformation requires our cooperation, and transformation, this is my least favorite, is often painful. The changes in life, the transformations in life. If you've ever tried to lose weight, if you've ever tried to get in shape for longer than a day and a half, and the reason it stops at a day and a half is why? Well, because it's painful, because it's hard to change physical and dietary commitments that we've had all of our life. It's hard to stop licking the Play-Doh because it just tastes so salty and so wonderful. I don't lick Play-Doh anymore. I'm a grown man now. But I want you to see two passages on this. In Acts chapter 14, verses 21 and 22, let's read. After preaching the good news in Derbe, now these are towns where Paul has planted ministry, Derbe and making many disciples, Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, Antioch of Pisidia, strengthening the souls of the disciples and exhorting them, pause there, every one of them, we get the same message from Paul, exhorting them to, let's read, continue in the faith and saying, we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. How many of you want to be just like Jesus? There's trouble between here and there. There's tribulation between here and there. There's hard work between here and there. You have to pay attention between here and there. There's things that are left behind between here and there. And there's wonderful, new, beautiful things you pick up between here and there. It's just a part of the journey. Through many tribulations, we enter the kingdom of God. One more, we bring this up probably 6 times a year. Jesus, in John chapter 16, sitting around the Passover table, he says to his disciples, let's read together, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But I like to just say, cheer up, he says. But be of good cheer, what? I have overcome the world. There will be, promise you, there will be tribulation between here and home. I'm tempted to say, I wish it weren't so, but that's futile, because it is so. It's just the way it's going to be. There'll be trouble probably that we have to deal with in every category of life. And the categories, you know what they are. I don't have to list them. But there's a proverb that comes to my mind, and it's not in any of the 31 chapters of the Proverbs we have collected, but it's one of my favorite proverbs, and it sounds best if you say it with just a little bit of a southern drawl, honey. And so here's what it is. It says, honey, God is good and life is tough. Now don't go and get the two confused. It's just the way it is. God is good and life is hard. And I'm never going to apologize for that, because I'd be misleading someone. It is good, but it is hard. And so it's, you know, when I think of the tribulation and the trial that brings on good things, I think of, you know, one of the toughest experiences in my life, I've been through it 4 times, is childbirth. It's hard. Why is that funny? It was the hardest thing I've ever been through, childbirth. Well, no, number 4 was easy because that was a cesarean. But the first 3, man, that was hard. And there was on the 3rd one with Jeremy, and I'm not kidding about this. Joy is laboring to give birth to this precious boy. And I started getting dizzy. It was summertime. Give me a break. It was August, okay? And it was in the desert. Yeah, I know we were inside, but that's the only thing I can do to explain it. And the doctor said, sir, would you please sit down so you don't fall down? And so I had to plant myself. But you know, ladies, is it one of the hardest things you've ever done? Some would say, it's the hardest thing ever. And it was hard to watch Joy go through that. I know I sound like a wimp, and I probably am a wimp. But I want to get down to what God wants to do in me and in you today. It's a southern, I'm sorry, I've already done that. It's in Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2. And I hope I have it up here where it belongs. Yeah. Here is Paul begging as he digs down deep on transformation with his friends. He says, I beg you, beseech means I beg you. I beg you, therefore, my brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. God cares about your body? Oh, yeah. What are you doing with your body? I'll just let that question sift down. But he says, I beg you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. He said, it just makes sense. Give him, yeah, give him your heart, give him your mind, give him your soul, give him your body. But you and I do with our body, it matters, it counts. We use our body to serve Jesus. We use our feet to walk to somebody to tell them about Jesus. We use our arms to throw them around somebody who's grieving and broken and ready to give up. He says, give your bodies to God. It's a holy sacrifice, and it only makes sense. And then he says, and do not be, what's the word there? Conformed to this world. But be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice those two words, conformed and transformed. They're significant words, and I think Pastor Jeff talked about this a little bit last week as well. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed in the renewing of your mind as you prove and as you discover what is God's perfect will for your life. The word conformed in the Greek, it's the word, I'm going to do my best to pronounce this, syskamatizo, and it means to be in sync or synchronized with something, molded in order to fit in. And it really is like Paul is saying, don't dance to the music of this world. All of us did before we came to Christ. And we danced to the music of the world, whatever that was. And he says, don't do that any longer. Don't be conformed to the world in your thought patterns, in your activities, in your practices, in your habits. Don't just decide I'm just going to be with the world and I'm just going to be in lockstep with them. I want to be synchronized with my clan. Isn't that how we chose our circle of friends? We were synchronized. I was synchronized with a bunch of teenagers in 1967 through 1970. I was synchronized with them. And so we went off this way and we did drugs, and we went off that way and we wasted our lives. But we were in lockstep with it. He said, don't be conformed to the world anymore, because you're in the world, but you're not of the world. But he says, be transformed. And it's a great word, metamorpho. We get our word metamorphosis from that. And it means totally changed into a different person. And the person we're being transformed to be like is Jesus. And I don't know why, but every time I read this verse, I think about Barry Maguire. Anybody here remember Barry Maguire? He was in the New Christy Minstrels, and he got saved and went off on his own and did a solo musical career for a long time. But the one song that he did that lingers in my head was on a children's album that some of you probably listened to when you were kids. If you're the age, anywhere near the age of my kids that are somewhere between 38 and, I'm going to give away Bethany's age, almost 51, I can't believe I'm saying that. And she's not here to correct me anyway, but then you've heard this song, and it went like this. Bullfrogs and butterflies, they've both been born again. Anybody remember that? Okay, if you remember, sing it with me. Okay, now you know it. You know it, so you can sing it with me. Bullfrogs and butterflies, they've both been born again. Once again now, he would say, bullfrogs. Okay, that's enough of that. It's a great song, and Barry's, you know, deep, raspy voice. But it really is. It's always used for the image of transformation because it's something kids see, especially if you live back in the Midwest where we live. And every spring it was the same. Certain time of the year, it was time for Kevin and I to run back to the pond that was back about a quarter to a half a mile in the woods behind our house and take a cup with us and scoop up some tadpoles. Going to bring them home, and they're going to become frogs or toads or one of the two. And it was such a transformation from this little squirmy fish-like looking thing that couldn't survive out of the water to a frog or a toad that could survive out of the water. That was a transformation. One that swam to one that hopped and was fun to catch. And then we'd go around to the side of our house that faced west. For some reason, that's where they always were, the caterpillars, that he climbed up the side of this old house and attached themselves to the brick that had all been painted white. And there they hung for however long it was until the sun and the seasons came together and out came the little wings. And how many of you ever tried to help a butterfly get out of its cocoon. Come on, let me see. It's probably mostly guys. Just helping you out a little here, buddy, and you're killing the poor thing. But it goes from a hairy little bug that just moves so slow across the ground into something beautiful with wings. And it was always mystifying. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about, that kind of transformation where you look at it and you can't believe that you, the worm from so long ago, have turned into, well, let's choose the butterfly instead of the frog, but you turned into something that is so different. Why? Because of Jesus. Because of the transformation process that He directs it day by day, walking us through transforming circumstances that we would never, ever want to go through, and we become a different person. It was last weekend, Joy and I were up in Montana. She was teaching a women's retreat, and I spoke on the Sunday morning up there at Refuge in Belgrade. If you're ever up there, you got to check out Refuge Belgrade and Pastor Travis and Danielle. But while the girls were away on Friday and Saturday night, Travis and I binge-watched the House of David series that's showing. How many of you have seen any of that? They got a lot of it right. It's really powerful. There's some things I wonder why they went this way or that way. But we watched the whole thing and stayed up way too late one night. But this was not in the story. When Saul was called by Samuel to go up this mountain, I want you to see the passage. But when Saul was turned into a different man, it says this: "You will meet." This is Samuel saying to Saul, "You will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high place." In other words, go up that mountain, and you'll meet this pack of prophets coming down with lyres, timbrels, pipes, and harps being played before them, and they will be prophesying. And the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you, and you will prophesy with him, he said to Saul. You're going to prophesy along with the prophets. Now look at the next phrase. And you will be changed into a different person. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him and change him into a totally different man. And he was. And it was powerful. The problem with Saul is that it wasn't permanent. The man who had been transformed from just a dude in the donkey business to being the king of Israel would spend most of the rest of his life trying to kill David. We've been studying that on Wednesday nights as well. But sad truth with the transformation with Saul is it didn't last long. For him, it was this headstrong, jealous, violent temperament that he had. And he just wouldn't let go of the throne when God told him to, through the same prophet that anointed him, said, "Hey, your administration is over. Let go. David is coming." And he would have none of that. Sadly for him, it was a temporary transformation. You want another example of transformation? That's Saul. The other transformation is Saul, but a different Saul. That's Saul who became who? Paul. Incredible transformation. A man who had been hunting Christians for a while, we don't know how long, and he did his best to stamp out the Jesus movement. He was looking for you and people like you to force you to stop following Jesus if he could. And then he met Jesus on that road, and he was transformed from what? From being, what would you call him today? A terrorist. He was transformed from being a terrorist who was out to kill Christians to a martyr himself eventually, who would lay down his life. That was a total transformation. And is that like your transformation too? Where your life is just so radically different. And I'm not this morning, here I am mentioning another one of those series, The Chosen, but I want to show you some lyrics from a song by Matt Maher that he wrote for the, I think it was at the beginning of the third or maybe the fourth season. And the words are just so powerful. I want you to see this. First verse and second verse, I'll read those. From death to life. This is describing hopefully your life too. From death to life, from darkness to a shine, from a fear to a peace I can't explain. From doubts to hope, holding on to letting go of all the empty promises of shame. Look at the second verse. From orphan to a child, your child. From a stone to running wild. From a seed in the ground to breaking out. From a mess to a mess. I'll explain that in a minute, I think, if I can. A blessing to a blessing. A sea of failures bearing testimony. That's us now. I love the chorus. This is my song. I was one way, but now I'm different. Can I see the hands of anybody here that that's true of you? I was one way, but I am different now. There was a clear change in a holy collision, who I was and who I'll forever be, and he, Jesus, was the in-between, between the darkness and the light. He was the in-between. When I first heard this, the first several times I heard it on the video, you can watch this up, and there's a bit, look this up on YouTube, and there's a video of Matt singing it. But you get down to that line that says, from a mess to a mess, and I heard in my mind, singing from a mess to a message, and I thought, oh yeah, amen. But now that I've heard it and seen it in print, he wrote it just this way, from a mess to a mess. Well, what's he talking about? Can I see the hands of anybody who still has a little mess in your life? Yeah. And sometimes even walking with Jesus will create a mess because of the conflict that comes in that with the people around us, but it's a powerful thing. It was Jesus. It's the transformation, and he was the in-between between all of the life of brokenness and now the life of promise, even with the messes involved in the life of promises. Well, here's Paul's take on transformation. We're going to read these quickly. I asked you to look this up so you'd be on page with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Here's what Paul says, and he says it somewhat the same in both of these chapters, where he says, nevertheless, you got to read the rest before that on your own, and that nevertheless will make sense. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, and the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, say it with me, there is liberty, there is freedom, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with unveiled face, in other words, we see Jesus now, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And who's doing the changing? Look at the rest of the line there. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord might sound like the silent partner in the Trinity, but I don't think he's silent at all. He's speaking all the time. He's actively changing and nudging and prodding and poking and leading us in a better direction. Amen? True? Look over at chapter 14, verse 16 to 18. So, he says, so don't lose heart. Turn to somebody beside you and tell them, don't lose heart. Don't give up. Listen to this now. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, and maybe he's speaking about persecution or just getting old, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Oh, and then he talks about your troubles and mine. How the audacity that he calls them light affliction. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, we don't get caught up and focused on the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Remember this about everything you see around you. The things which are seen are, what is it? Temporary, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So here we are being renewed day by day, going from, and I love how he says it, from glory to what? Well, what's the starting point? Glory. What do you mean glory? He took me, wouldn't you say it too? He took me from garbage to glory. And I may have trashed my life, and I did trash my life by the time I was 18 years and 2 months old. I had trashed my life. And I'd become a garbage collector, and I kept all the garbage that I collected. But he didn't just see the garbage. What he saw down underneath, buried under all that stuff, is something that's in every single one of us. If you want to look at it as just a spark, listen carefully to this. You were created in the image of God. And that's different than a caterpillar. That's different than a little bug. That's different than a chimpanzee. That's different than anything. When God came to that last day of creation and he created you, he made you with his image. And that's glory. Even if it was encrusted and buried in all the vile junk that we used to do before we came to Jesus, we were, in his estimation, worth saving and worth dying for and worth paying for us with his blood. That's not something you, garbage isn't something that you're going to shed your blood for. You were still valuable to God, even though you were so broken. And maybe somebody here today is still there. He sees you and he loves you exactly where you are right now. And you are so valuable to him that he shed blood for you, that you could know him. So we're being changed from glory to glory. You know what that means? Oh, we're not done yet. We are not done yet. Wait till you see what God has in mind for you. Is anybody here just sometimes grieved with your own brokenness still? You know, those areas. Can I see the hands of anybody who you know one or two things, you would just say, God, if you could instantly change this today, please, would you do it? Anybody in that category? We all are. But we're going right now from glory to glory, and it's a glorious thing that God is doing. We're being created and recreated in the image of Jesus now. And it's deep calling to deep in me and you. The voice of God day after day coming after those things. He changed me from glory to glory. So don't give up, he says, and don't lose heart. Renewed day by day, afflictions even work a deeper weight of glory for us. How mysterious is that? But it's the way that it is. We don't dwell on the temporary. Please don't. You'll get discouraged and you'll give up. The best is yet to come. Amen. Look at Philippians chapter 3 with me, verse 20 and 21. Let's read this out loud. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies. No kidding, right? Did I just describe you? Our lowly bodies, keep going, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. I can imagine in that sentence, Paul just preempted a pack of questions when he says, we're going to be conformed to his glorious body. How? But Paul. And I can just see somebody's hand going up in the church. But how is that possible? And he beats them to the question. It's according to the working by which he himself is able to even subdue everything. So there's your answer. He can do it. You're going to be just like him. You're going to be recreated in the image of Christ. And you're going to be incredibly thrilled with what you are in heaven and more thrilled with how you got there. Here's what I get from this passage here. Our citizenship is in heaven. Heaven is my hometown. Heaven is your hometown. You just haven't been there yet. How many of you were born in one place, and when you were an infant, your family moved? Did that happen to anybody here? Yeah. Have you ever gone back to visit your hometown? One day you're going to visit your home city. One day we're going to go home and we're going to see heaven for what it really is. We have a new hometown. We have a new eternal glorious home, and we're being prepared for that here. I mean, I feel less and less at home on this broken earth than I ever have in my whole life. It doesn't get me down because I know where my hometown is. And I know one day I'm stepping out of here and into there, and I got to say hallelujah for that. One day, it won't be just a hope, it will be reality. But while we're here, Paul says, we're still groaning at times and growing, being formed and transformed by the Holy Spirit from glory to glory into the very image of Jesus. In fact, God said the same thing to the Old Testament nation of Israel about his plans in transformation of them, his plan for all of his kids. Look at this in Ezekiel. It's two times said almost exactly the same way in chapter 11 and chapter 36. And then the prophet said this. Let's read it together, please. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and I'll give you a heart of flesh. I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. He's talking to a nation that was continually what? Stubborn. They were stone-hearted, stubborn. And that's why he says, I'll give you a warm heart, a heart of flesh. I will transform you. The same was true for them, that they would be transformed like you and I are transformed by the Holy Spirit of God poured into us. Jesus promised that same transformation. I think this is the last verse we're going to look up together. In John chapter 7, verses 37 to 39, on the last day. You got one more? You got time? You got breath enough to read one more out loud with me? Okay, let's read together. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, pause there, because when it says he cried out, it doesn't mean he whispered it. It means he raised his voice loud. You know what we're going to do? Raise our voices loud and read. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. It means he hadn't died and he hadn't been buried and he hadn't risen from the dead and he hadn't ascended back into heaven. But after that, the Spirit would come. And the Spirit would come to everyone who believes in him. And that change that he said, anyone's thirsty, come to me and get a drink. And whatever you drink is going to, well, in one sense, it's all going to come out of you. But Jesus says, he who drinks, just takes a drink, out of him will pour rivers of living water. I can't teach on this passage without mentioning this every single time I do. I don't know a lot about rivers. I'm not a riverologist, but I do know this about rivers. A river is a whole lot more water than I need. So why would he waste all that water? Well, it's only wasted if it doesn't pour out of you to somebody else. It's a river because you're going to meet a lot of thirsty people. You're going to meet a lot of dry people, a lot of needy people. He says, if anyone thirsts, you come to me and drink, get ready, because a river is going to flow from you. And make sure that it flows out and touches the broken people around you that need him. The moment we receive Jesus, the Spirit comes flooding into our lives, our souls, our spirits, our minds, and maybe even our bodies. The lights turn on in our life when the Spirit flows into us. It's just, it can't not happen. Until that moment, we all know that something's missing, I believe. And the thing that's missing is that life of the Spirit within us. It comes the moment you open up your heart, your mind, your soul, and say, oh, Jesus, just take me and take all of me and make yourself present in this world through me, through the deeds that I get to do and the words that I get to say. Without Jesus, we are never fully prepared. We're never fully awake, and we're just like the living dead doing the best that we can and still feeling the emptiness that only the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit can give. But I want to encourage you today, there's somebody here that needs to open up their heart and say, Jesus, take me. Forgive me of my sins. Jesus, I'm empty. And there's somebody here today that you've said that about yourself recently, maybe even to somebody else. I'm empty. I just feel empty. But Jesus wants to fill you today. He wants to save you. Certainly he wants to save you. And he wants to fill you so that river can flow from you in such a powerful way. To be kind of a port where people come for refreshment. As you reach out and speak his truth and bring his touch and his healing to so many people. Without Jesus, you'll never be fully alive. I long to see people transformed, including me, from lost to found, from addiction to freedom. I can't tell you how overwhelmed I still am with gratitude over what God has done in my son Jeremy's life and the freedom that he's experienced and is still experiencing and still celebrating, to see the transformation in his life and in his marriage and in his parenting. boys that were maneuvering to get out of dad's way, and I didn't even know that. But love being with him now. It's just been one of the most amazing miracles I've ever seen in my whole life, whole 50, you know, many years walking with Jesus. And I just love what God is doing. And if that's where you are, if it's addiction to something that's gotten a hold of you, Jesus is the point of freedom. And from hopelessness to peace and joy, that's the resurrection life. You know what the resurrection life actually looks like? Some of you have it memorized. Anybody got Galatians 5, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23 memorized? That's what that life in Jesus, that's what that transformed life looks like. It's joy, it's peace, it's love, it's gentleness, it's kindness. It's a beautiful life. It's self-control and faithfulness. That's the Spirit-filled life. That's the resurrection life. Transformation is actually the rescue of the hostage that had been held in darkness and bondage and sin and rebellion and anger for so long. It's just like the hostages down in those tunnels of Gaza. That's the life of the untransformed person held captive. And Jesus today is ready to set you free. He's ready to make this day the day of the recreation of you. Not the recreation, but the recreation of you. If you're desperate enough to say, Jesus, come rescue me. That's when Jesus came walking on Palm Sunday through that gate, it was the rescuer that had just arrived. And the people were crying it out to him. The Spirit of God is ready to meet you where you are and begin that transformation through the presence and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of becoming a Spirit-filled follower of Jesus. Is he going to turn me into a kooky Christian? No. He's going to turn you into a vibrant Christian. And saying every day, oh, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. There's no special magical mantra that you've got to come up with and articulate a certain way before God will respond. If you're really hungry to be filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, ask for it. He gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. So this morning, Christians, I want us to ask him for that fresh outpouring in our lives so that we can be all that he wants us to be. And we can continue to press in to that walk with him. And we can continue to resist the pressure to be molded according to this world. Get out of sync with the world. Get in sync with what Jesus Christ is doing. The ultimate transformation and renewal, resurrection of the human being begins on that day of salvation, the day when we cry out to Jesus and just ask him, oh God, I need it. I need it now. I need renewal. I need forgiveness. I need all of that. It's that moment when you drop your defenses and welcome Jesus as the lover of your soul. That's one of my favorite titles of Christ in the scripture, the lover of our soul. Gospel is not a message about behavior modification. The gospel is the invitation for the dead to come alive in Jesus. It's an epic, true love story. You know it. Say it with me. I'll start it. You'll recognize it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. And I think there's maybe some here today that need to say it. I need to say it in this way. I think so. Did this just stop working? I'll go back. I'll go here. It's not there. I don't know what happened to it. It was really good. That's not it. No. That's good. That's really good. But it was a personalized one. And here's what I wrote down. Making it personal is this. For God so loved me that he gave Jesus, that if I believe in him, I will not perish, but I will have everlasting life. Don't read the Bible and make it distant theology. If you're ready to say that to Jesus today, oh, he is so ready to transform you. That transformed resurrection life becomes a reality when I simply and honestly surrender the rest of my life to Jesus. So, hear it again. Jesus said it. All who are thirsty, he said, come to me. Come to me and drink. And he who believes in me, out of his innermost being, out of her innermost being, will flow rivers of living water. And that's what a dry and thirsty world needs right now. So let me pray with you, and we'll release you into a thirsty world today. Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for just the beauty and the glory and the majesty of Jesus, the reality of Jesus, who he is. Not just who he was, but certainly what he did, but who he is now. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you today. We welcome you. We ask you to come. And if you'd like to welcome the Spirit of God in a fresh way, with a fresh commitment, I just want to ask you to say this with me. Say, Holy Spirit, come. Say it out loud. Holy Spirit, come. Fill me. Give me the gifts I need to serve you. I'm ready to let the river flow through me. And I thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you all to keep your eyes closed for just a moment. I want to ask if there's anybody here today. Can we turn the lights up, please? If there's anybody here today that would say, you know, Bill, today's the day. I'm ready once and for all to surrender my life to Jesus. I need the forgiveness. I need the hope. I'm tired of the life that I've lived, and I want to live a life that honors God. And if that's you, I just want to ask you to raise your hand, and we're going to pray together with you. Anybody that would say, this is the day I want to live that life that matters. I want to honor God with every day of my life. Raise your hand if you're ready to say, Jesus, I'm ready to surrender my life to you. I want to pray with you today. Right over here. God bless you, brother. Yeah. Amen. He's seeing you. He sees your hungry heart. And he brought you here today for that. Way in the back corner, too. I see that hand. God bless you. Anybody else? Put your hand up. Yeah, right here in the middle. Yeah, bless you, man. Anyone else today? Say, yeah, Jesus, please. Over here, another brother. God bless you, man, to my right. Anybody else today? Lift your hand up, right back there. Yeah. Anybody making a fresh commitment of your life to Jesus? All right, God bless you. I want you to pray with me out loud. I'm going to ask the congregation to accompany you too as we pray. But say this to God. He's been waiting maybe to hear this for a while from you. But let's come to him and say this. Father in heaven, I thank you for Jesus Christ, who suffered for my sin and died on that cross. I'm sorry for my sin, but I ask you to forgive me and set me free to live my life for you. Thank you for dying for me on that cross and rising from the dead. The rest of my life is yours. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Amen. Let's give thanks to God. Thank you, Lord. That was not a small thing you just did. That was one of the biggest things you will ever do. I would say the biggest thing you will ever do. And he heard you. And I want to ask you to do something before you leave. Tell somebody about the decision you just made, about the trust that you just placed in Jesus. Maybe for the first time, maybe it's not the first time. And you're ready to serve him. Welcome to the family of God. If you're looking for a family to connect with, you're welcome here at Refuge. Well, let's all stand together and let's rejoice in Jesus. Communion is going to be served in the prayer room right over there. And there'd be a prayer team up here that would love to pray with you.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach with Pastor Bill Welsh. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.